to Cinemarathon, the Movie Marathons podcast, where we watch a series of movies all in one day and discuss them afterwards. My name is John, and I am joined in this episode by Dan, Sean, and Jorge. This is part two of the American Pie Cinemarathon. If you missed part one, be sure to go back and check that out before you listen to this episode. But if you are all caught up, then sit back, relax, and enjoy part two of the American Pie Cinemarathon.
The next movie was American Pie Presents The Naked Mile.
We're on the top of the world here now.
I will say, not the best movie of the day, but it certainly fucking started strong.
Well, hold on. Here's what you got to do. It's not streaming, right? You can't just tell everybody to go real quick, watch the first 5 minutes.
No, I wish. Yeah.
If you can, if you have a copy on hand, you watch the first 5 minutes.
Yes, before we spoil the beginning.
Just watch the first
just
five
torrent
minutes.
It, go find the Naked Mile.
It's probably on
watch the beginning.
I bet you the intro's on YouTube.
It has to be.
I'm gonna look.
But there's a pretty ridiculous beginning. So go check it out. We'll be here when you get back. Check it out now.
It was legitimately my favorite American Pie set piece of the day.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
So we're back. You've all seen it. But for those who didn't, who obviously just kept listening and didn't go look, Sean, what happened? What's the beginning?
Well, it starts out as like a Ferris Bueller homage. And we have a new Stifler. It's one of OG Stifler's cousins, but he's more like Jim than Stifler.
Yeah.
He's sort of hopeless with the ladies, and he fakes sick to stay home from school and jerk off.
Because his girlfriend's
a fucking bummer and won't fucking fuck him. So he...
And don't they literally play like Ferris Bueller music?
It's very similar.
It's like, oh yeah.
That might have actually been in another movie. That might have been in Beta House.
Oh yeah, maybe you're right.
I think so.
So same thing.
He finds the videotape Pussy Palace, which is a callback to American Pie 2.
Because that's the one he gets attached to his hand, right? The Jim gets.
Yeah, so he goes downstairs into the living room, which is where you do your jerking off. And he puts
the
video in.
The family room.
Yeah. He puts on headphones so that he can hear what's going on. It just starts.
No, because there's like a landscaper outside.
Right, someone's like gardening.
For some reason. Okay. It's unimportant. But then his parents come home with their grandmother.
Yes.
And one of the parents
is Christopher McDonald.
Oh right? Yeah.
Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore.
Pretty good. Great work.
Pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Doing great.
He did
work.
What like Fred Willard like should have been. Doing, you know, like,
I
don't want to insult Fred Willard, but I'm just saying he's way
it's not
funnier.
Like Chris McDonald brought it was no, so hilarious, like it was pretty bad. But
compared to what they did with Fred Willard,
I gotcha.
Anyways,
but that's neither here nor there.
So Stifler is just he's ready to go. He's almost there. He's jerking off, and then his parents and his grandmother walk into the room, and he sees them, and he turns right as he comes. He comes all over them.
Yeah,
all three
and
of them.
And there's
grandma,
like, there's
the
prop jizz like hitting everybody. Like,
it's like slow motion.
Yeah.
I think maybe I'm misremembering.
That was a different. That was a different movie.
No. He's having a joint. Like he's orgasming, but at the same time is surprised that they're coming in. So that was his reaction. Yeah. Was
like what?
That's pretty good.
Like
and then grandma falls over dead.
Yeah. Like heart attack.
Chris McDonald looks up, checking pulse on the neck, shaking head. No, she didn't make it. No, she's dead. He killed his own grandmother with his cum.
And we were all fucking flabbergasted. Like that was just ridiculous.
It's a next level pie.
Like, yeah.
Welcome to phase two. Basically. Yeah,
I don't know the odds that whoever wrote that down would happen to ever find this or listen to this, but if you are right now, congratulations, because that was just one of the most ridiculous scenes I've ever seen. Like, kills grandma.
Here's
with,
an update. If you YouTube Naked Mile cum scene, nothing comes up. I'm trying to find it.
You're failing us, internet.
Oh, that's too bad.
How is that not on YouTube?
The funny thing about the killing the grandmother is that it doesn't really, like, affect him that much.
No. Like they just wipe it off.
Well, they mention it.
They mention it a bunch, but
because his girlfriend is like, she's not ready to have sex. It's kind of like a Tara Reid situation.
Well, she's scared because she weighs 70 pounds that it will break her.
The anorexic actress does not want to.
Very skinny.
She doesn't want to have sex with him, and then he has a line in casually like, people are dying, like, you know, like, because I have to like masturbate and I'm getting caught.
And in the next movie, he mentions it again because he can't jerk off.
Right. Yeah, because it was a traumatic event. Yeah.
This is our lead.
Yeah. By the way, who's supposed to be like a senior in high school, but he looks like 37. Like, yeah. No joke, is just so old. Just ridiculously old. But aside from the really funny, ridiculous opening, not much else really is good about this.
Washing machine.
Yeah.
Or the dryer.
Oh, well,
the main character, I guess they set up that he has like stomach problems, so whenever he's under like extreme duress, which also this disappears by Beta House.
This happens once.
Basically. Yeah, he's scared because his girlfriend, who doesn't want to have sex with him, finally agrees to, and this is in the very beginning of the movie, and then he goes over to her house and they're going to have sex, but then the dad's going to show up, so he has to hide, and there's this whole comical...
He's running around naked.
Oh, yeah. So he hides in the dryer. And then there's all these fart sounds coming from the dryer, and then he...
Well, not all
out.
Of these, kind of just one.
Just one.
One, and then he's like, he took a shit in a dryer, I guess, because he was scared. I don't know.
For some reason.
Yeah, for some reason he takes a shit in the dryer.
Well, he runs out and with a stocking on his head, which, by the way, this dryer just has one stocking, and like, that's
right.
it.
And he thinks it's like a criminal that's broken
in. Yeah, it's a burglar.
So then people are also on the lookout for like a stocking naked shitter guy who's like going into houses.
Yeah, but the dad finds the shit, and then they like smell it. And
so there's too much of a like, you know, there's too much drama around like him and his girlfriend having sex, but he needs to have sex, you know, because come on, he's a fucking guy and needs to do it.
Sure.
Says she gives him a guilt-free pass for the weekend, so that he can. It's like that movie Hall Pass. He can get with anybody.
Well, she herself, the reason she's going about this is she's traumatized by, frankly, one of my favorite scenes, which is she's having a chat with her girlfriends. And just, they were talking about her ex, Brett, I think was his name, is like
Trent. Yeah,
her ex Trent was not into. She's saying like, yeah, he wanted me to put out, and I didn't, and we broke up. And then it goes like flashback, and then he just looks at her and is like, this isn't gonna work without the sex. Like one line, and then like back. And it was like, why? Like she literally said that in scene. Why have a flashback?
It pays off.
It's true.
Next movie.
I guess it's true. I guess we do need to set him up, you know, because he comes back later. But yeah, he goes with his guilt-free pass, and then
he's going off to the college.
Yes.
With his friend the Coos, who's a goofy guy, and some other friend who's a football player, to visit his other Stifler cousin, who's a big man on campus.
Who's doing his best, well, semi-best, like, Van Wilder impression, because that's kind of what the movie gets into, is just, like, these frat assholes going, yeah, we're the best, we're doing keg stands, and woo, it, like, kind of de-evolves into...
Yeah, and then they're going on this weekend where the students run the Naked Mile, which is maybe 2 minutes of the movie.
Sure.
Oh, but then the girlfriend is freaking out about what she's done, and she's leaving yoga class one day and runs into...
Just happens to run into...
What do you know? Good old Eugene Levy.
The president of band camp.
Who has the world's dumbest story. He's like, yeah, I'm taking yoga classes because my sister... Or it's like my daughter-in-law told me that this is really good for some reason,
Kama Sutra. I'm taking yoga classes.
Yeah, it was for Kama Sutra with his wife.
Oh, right, right, for his wife.
It was
wife.
His wife wanted to start doing Kama Sutra, so he was... Which is shaky because I actually think he's lying, actually. I think that's what we're supposed to take away from it.
Oh, right. Oh, he's just there.
Well, because when we find out later in Book of Love, since he's such an expert lover and helped write the Book of Love, he would know Kama Sutra.
Sure.
I think he's just sort of...
He's there to just give sage-like advice to high school girls.
He probably knows. Think about this. He probably knows more than he's leading on. He probably already knows his situation. I mean, imagine how many people he's got in his employ at the school. You're telling me he's the president of band
sure,
camp,
sure.
And wrote the Book of Love and was a member of the Beta House fraternity.
He's also a lawyer and runs a carpet business.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So he's got to know a lot more than he leads on. I don't think he just happened to meet. Because think about it. You're this old guy. you're talking to this high school girl, like you just happen to walk by her. Why start this whole conversation? He knows everything. He knows what's going on. He knows about the guilt-free past. Because remember when he shows
so
up
the
later.
So the beta house college, called him up and gave him a heads up?
He accidentally like runs into the guy. He's sure, like, oh, sure. You? It's one of those things where it's like he's almost like, what were you saying? Like from It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, yeah, I kept
like
joking
Clarence.
He was like Clarence the Angel. Who
he
just
knows.
Keeps coming
he knows
in
what and... he's talking about. So I think he knows about Kama Sutra. I think it's sure. just his story.
It's possible. There's also a huge plot point in this movie of the rival frat of the Beta House, which consists entirely of dwarves.
Well, right, because there's Beta House, which yes. is, well, we didn't really explain what Beta House was.
Well, we
right?
sort of did. It's like Stifler's
There's another
cousin,
Stifler. So it's,
yeah.
so, okay, so if you have original Stifler,
yes.
Sean William Scott, him and his little brother, who's the star of Bandcamp, have a cousin, who's the yes. other Stifler, and then there's a third brother, right?
Or the, he says this is also his cousin, but we don't know.
I think
we
it's
know
a third. No,
cousin.
Because at the beginning he intros, he's like, yeah, I'm a cousin to the Stifler. And he has a younger brother. And they show the picture of the guy from Bandcamp. And then they're like, and then the other brother, Doug, or
right,
Doug Stifler.
Right.
And so there's three. And now that
Dwight like, Stifler.
Oh, Dwight, sorry.
Sure.
So now that they're, so they've established that there's three so Stifler man. Brothers.
Got
that
it.
He's, so it's his cousin. So it's the other Stifler brother. He's the head of this fraternity called Beta House. Who then is putting on the Naked Mile yeah. or just involved?
By the way,
he's just like the king of it.
This is why they're going for the guilt-free
original
weekend.
Stifler yeah. is like sort of an like adorable asshole, and he's kind of funny. The fucking Beta House Stifler guy it just annoyed the shit out of me.
Well,
like,
yeah,
he's
I kind of like
he was kind of like if Jim Carrey was a Stifler.
Yeah,
I guess
so hard.
Yeah, yeah
but at least he was trying. Something. Unlike Book of Love Stifler.
Oh,
the
man,
world's worst.
The worst Stifler.
He was kind of like a social 50. Network Stifler. Yeah. Like if Stifler existed in the social network, he was kind of like that was his.
And there was no connection to the Stifler family brought
we
up.
We have no idea.
But I'm serious. This sort of shift in the series that happens with the Beta House guys, I really dislike it because the original American Pie movies are all these sort of like helpless virgin guys. That you can sort of like sympathize with. I mean, yes, they do despicable acts like recording women on the internet and stuff.
But out of love.
Sure.
But they're all virgins. They have
but
an
yeah,
access.
Yeah. You there, can yeah. sort of, you're like almost rooting for them. This series, starting with this movie, kind of takes this weird turn of like, yeah, we're a bunch of fucking frat guys that get pussy all the time. And look how awesome we are. And it's just like, I just couldn't give a shit about yeah. any of that.
Well, on the flip side, though, I kind of. Compared to Bandcamp, I liked what they did with having the Stifler character be like a hopeless, more hopeless Jim type character.
Sure, I guess
and
he, the main
they had like
guy.
A running thing.
Sure,
like,
sure.
You know,
which Stifler? They have to clarify. There's the main character, come on his grandma Stifler.
Come on his grandma Stifler.
And then there's the right. Dwight, like Jim Carrey, like charismatic, everybody
right.
loves him.
Right.
Stifler.
Right. But
guy.
He, that Stifler. I mean, the
Eric Stifler? Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know. So the main character Stifler. So
yeah.
Confusing.
Yeah. Main character
like,
Stifler.
I like it, like.
But he acts like Jim from
yeah,
American
if
Pie.
You're gonna
not
have,
Stifler.
If you're gonna have
just
to
for
have
all those
the main Stifler, like I'd much prefer him to the Bandcamp guy.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll give you that. And actually, the Naked Mile is sort of okay in that yeah. sense until the end when it gets to the sort of frat.
You're
stuff.
Kind of talking more about
it's
beta.
It's way
beta
more
house.
That's
beta.
But this movie kind of ushers in that Beta House bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this also, with the dwarf fraternity, there's
right.
this whole
a fraternity
plot
of little
of
people,
that, like,
and then they're the rivals of Beta House.
Yeah. Right.
So they have to play this like football game with
the
no stakes.
It was
the
like,
no stakes football game.
It was like in real time.
Yeah. Now, I think that's another unrated, you know, here's every frame of everything we shot, like football game.
It's also the beginning of a bunch of movies where there's no plot. There's just
no
plot.
Nothing. Although that football game did have a laugh that it got out of me where the guy's about to hit the end zone and win the game and then one of the dwarves like comes out of the mud like yeah. a Terminator, like just like an assassin. That was kind of funny.
Nobody saw him burrow in there.
And he was a good bad guy. I thought it was like for that movie.
Sure.
Not like in the
his
world.
Name's no
for that movie, he was a good bad guy.
Ugh. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And well, then the plot of the movie is that she's given him this guilt-free pass,
sure.
and then but then immediately realizes what a nightmare idea that is, and then it's going to text him, oh, no, wait, don't do it. Or she tries calling him or something, but then she
well,
decides,
his friend throws his
phone, throws
out,
the phone out
the window.
So the pass is still on.
By the way, he never asks, like, hey, what happened to my phone?
Not once is he concerned about not having a phone. But then basically what happens is her friends convince her that, what are you doing? The guilt-free press is stupid. Like, he's going to cheat on you, and then he'll have had sex, and then you won't have had sex. No. And so he's going to have a leg up. So you have to go have sex right now in order to, like, make it good. Oh, because they see him making out with a sorority girl on TV.
Right. Because the news outlet is covering the Naked Mile, which we've sort of mentioned it, but it's this annual kind of marathon where everyone runs a mile naked.
To relieve stress for finals.
Yeah. It's like the Freaknik of these white pieces of shit or whatever.
And it was started years ago.
Yes.
Bye.
Like Levinstein, who is there in a baseball cap that says Naked Mile and is like announcing the whole thing. He does this annually.
But the entire time, the other scenes he's in, the joke is like, he doesn't know what the Naked Mile is. What are you talking about? He's never heard of that before.
But he's very obviously
Which
lying.
Is why it calls into question everything else he's saying about the Kama Sutra.
It's a good point.
As being a fake story.
It's a great point.
Yeah, it's great. So I think he knew all along the problems between Stifler and his girlfriend, and the whole thing about, you know,
truth,
because he shows up on campus while Stifler's on a payphone trying to contact her, and so, he gives him like advice, you know, like,
so he's like the adjustment bureau of fucking American Pie.
Yes. Like, he's like, absolutely. I mean, how can you watch it and not glean that from the
story?
I mean, because otherwise, like, okay, what's more preposterous? Because he's already has all these jobs. He's already doing all this. Or
how about just horribly lazy writing? How about that?
Well, here's the fact. Or it's just a coincidence that he happens to be on the payphone. Like,
these writers are too good for coincidences.
No way.
But as the Naked Mile goes down, we should talk about the two friends of Stifler, the main guy. That
Kuz and
whoopsie.
Jock.
They think they're given pills and they think it's E. And they take it, and it turns out it's like Viagra, and so they run the whole mile. There's a fucking super extended joke in the movie of them having these erect dicks. And then they get to the back to the frat, and they're like having a contest
of the girls. All of the girls are super into that because of their erections, which apparently no other man on campus is able to achieve an erection.
So wait,
at any point.
What is Dwight Stifler throwing at their dicks?
Ping pong balls.
He's throwing ping pong balls and then they're hitting them like baseballs.
Yeah, they have an Olympiad of hard dicks. And they put buckets and fill them with like beer. And then one of the guys like premature ejaculates on the entire fucking crowd. Yeah. And then everyone's like, yeah, whatever. And then he's like, I'm still hard, woo. And like they keep, and then there's just hours.
I just like when they
balls.
Hit the ping pong balls, they just have like baseball hitting sound effects, like bat hitting
Dink.
Wood, like whoosh, like really hard.
One of them
effects.
Calls a shot. One of them bunts.
Yeah, yells bunt. And then what's nuts about
the
this?
The greatest twist of all.
Because they maintain these erections for like 7 straight hours. And then this one guy gets this dominatrix girl in a room. And then he pulls out the pill like out of nowhere. And she goes, wait a minute, I thought you took that. He's like, hell no, baby. That was all natural like the whole time. And then takes it because now it's going to be great sex. So he fucking maintained and ejaculated on a crowd, like an erection for several hours, naturally.
Horny, like, horny guy.
So I'm saying they should be in a circus freak, like a sideshow of like.
And I could not let it go. Like scene after scene, I was just like, wait a minute.
He were to like, believe.
It was like old boy or something. Like I was in there like the whole time. Like, what the fuck?
I haven't
like,
seen the movie, just, but what if it's a prequel to Shame? Like, you know, you just gotta.
Maybe. But how, like, that's one of those things where they've written all that shit and then someone thinks, oh, what a funny joke if he, like, hadn't done it.
Right.
But it's so fucking impossible. Like, he came and still had an erection.
Unfortunately, he didn't kill anyone.
Like,
it could happen.
As a bucket. He's holding a bucket with
full
his
full of beer.
It's fucking stupid.
And wait, and so how does it end? It's Stifler, the gym like
Dan.
Stifler.
You don't remember? He steals the car, runs out of gas, and jumps on a horse.
He finds just a white horse on the highway
and
just
rides
standing there
to
and
this high school party, and then has sex with the girl and loses his virginity.
His girlfriend was about to give it up to Trent.
Right. Her ex. Because the girl, her friends were like, listen, Trent's there. He's good to go. You know he's ready. It's like, you, this guy's cheating on you. You need to cheat on him.
Well, I just remember, like, her friend has one of the most despicable lines that we heard the entire day, which was like, she's saying like, oh, I gave him a free pass and I shouldn't do this. And then she says a line that's something like, because she's trying to be reasonable. And her friend basically says like, why are you doing things logically? Like, you're a girl or something like that. Yeah. And we all just were like, what? Like, I couldn't.
He should know that.
Yeah.
We're irrational.
Yeah. Something. Like, this girl was like, no, you shouldn't be logical. We're women. Like, we need to be irrational. And all I saw was this 40-year-old piece of shit guy that wrote this fucking movie. Like,
and of course it was that he probably pulled an all-nighter and like the hours before he was like, and then, like Babe Ruth, he calls his shot with his hard, naturally hard dick
for some reason.
Later, he's like, you know, women just, they don't make sense. Can't they see how logical it is that he can hit home runs with his dick?
Yeah.
I love that there's a little person, Frat, who's really good at football. It's logical.
Totally logical.
Totally checks out.
The end result of her just like cheating on him by having sex with Trent. This all could have been, he just wanted to have sex with her like a day before. This whole movie did not have to happen.
Yeah, just that.
If only Jim's dad had gotten to her sooner.
Yeah. I would love to see all these movies recut from Jim's dad's perspective. Where you just did a super cut of him in every scene. So you kind of like...
It's called American Pie, The Plan. It's coming out next
year. The Plan. Just two of him.
Yeah. It's a Psylocke.
Yeah. One's a preacher.
And then the lovely capper to this movie is our frat Stifler beds the dwarf girlfriend.
For
and
revenge.
Sends a tape to the dwarf.
Somebody was here who worked on the movie, and he said that the original title was like Sex with Midgets. And they had to cut that. So we knew.
The working title
Sex with Midgets.
Oh, man.
Which is. But that barely that happens once.
And also, at the end of the movie. It gives away the big surprise, too.
So maybe that's why they changed it.
It's like Psycho Murder in the Shower. Like, that's just a silly title. why would you give away your best card? I don't get it.
Well, really, the best card was the coming on the grandmother.
Yeah,
that was incredible.
They should have made that guy with the hard dick who like didn't he should have been the main character. Like that should have been the plot.
No, it shouldn't.
Yes, it should have been.
Did you guys have anything else about The Naked Mile before we move on?
No.
So the next movie we watched was
To the Next Step.
To the next step. The next movie that we watched was American Pie Presents Beta House. Which I have to say is personally, hands down, my least favorite movie that we watched of any of them. Well, I thought this was bad.
It's a direct sequel from Naked Mile.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Because we love those characters so much. We got to have them back.
So in Naked Mile, they were visiting. Stifler and his two friends were visiting Dwight Stifler and all the Beta House guys. So now they're incoming freshmen and are pledging to Beta House.
It's just Stifler and Coos. The third guy has gone to California.
Well, because he had this scene in Naked Mile where he's like, man, you guys got to take this weekend more seriously, man, because I'm going to California. Yeah. Like, what? Like, they knew he wouldn't be available.
They kept continuity on that one.
But they kept continuity totally because the very first scene,
they're driving in a car.
Christopher McDonald, the elder Stifler, is like, yeah, it sucks that your girlfriend left you to go back to that asshole Trent. And you're like, why? Like, we literally just watched
the
movie. I
know. That whole movie was about them getting together and they
and
throw
it
in
the trash.
And
not going with Trent. And then it's like, oh, well, you know what?
Trent
actually,
was a piece
she
of garbage.
So he rode in with
a white stallion and then got dumped for Trent.
Wait, fucked her and then he got dumped for Trent.
Yes.
The important part is that they had sex.
Yeah. Well, I understand. You know, they got to clear the slate for all this sweet ass pussy he's going to bang in this woo. Like,
he gets there. They're incoming freshmen. He goes to the bathroom. It's a co-ed bathroom.
Yeah.
For no other reason than
Dwight Stifler has some dumb line alleviate. Like, I've been trying for 3 years to get to be co-ed bathrooms. Right, like, that would ever happen ever. And yeah, that's the whole movie from what I remember is just they're trying to rush. They have like 50 stupid tasks they have to do. And that's it. Like that's
well. There's
really
the evil frat in this one geek frat.
Yes.
Yeah. There's like fraternity of nerds.
Yeah. Who personally I felt very sympathetic with. Like the whole plot was like, oh man, we dumbass frat guys don't have all the hot ladies because they've got wind that the nerds are going to be the millionaires of the future. Like we gotta go take them down. And I just didn't give a shit. Like
Yeah, they became more despicable, I feel like.
It's weird. Like, I don't know why. Just this frat guy love just really pissed me off. I find it so unenjoyable. Like, who is watching these movies, like, rooting for these guys?
There are so many extended sequences of parties at the frat house, which is also a bar.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, girls in plaid skirts.
Just, like, stripper, like, college girls.
It's dancing for them. I mean... After a while,
you're a perfect 10, baby.
Want some plot or something.
Yeah. Well, you get a plot in the like Olympiad that they challenge the Beta House to.
Right. It's a band competition between fraternities that they haven't done in 50 years.
Because it's so racy.
Because it's just like too intense. And then they end up challenging each other to it because one of their duties was to steal something from the Geek House. And they stole some like a computer chip
motherboard
or something. Yeah,
or something.
And they never explain what its purpose was. And then when they noticed that's what they stole, then they got really mad and challenged them to that. And then the stakes were, if you lost, you couldn't be like a frat anymore.
Right. The frats were on the line.
There was a pretty awesome B story, though, between my favorite character of all time, the Coos, the guy with the hard dick who doesn't need Viagra. His whole storyline was he got with this girl... But then it was like
the southern girl.
She wanted to do all kinds of sex, but just nothing that involved like her ever taking her underwear off. So then like he got into his head that like it's like might be like the crying game, like she might be a guy.
Well, it was more the other frat guys were like, maybe she's a dude.
But he bought into it because he was having these nightmares where like she would have a penis, like, and you would see a real penis on her, and he kept waking up from them.
Yeah,
there was like a double nightmare, wasn't it? Like he woke up and then he woke up again.
Yes. Well, he woke up, and then he woke up, and, like, yeah. Then she was standing there with this huge dick, and then he's like, ah.
Yeah.
And the big payoff for that was it turned out she just was, like, a sprayer. Like,
she would have an orgasm. It was like a hose or something. It would
so she's like, she ejaculates, female ejaculates all over his face, and then he's like, I'm into it, baby. Don't worry. And it's like, problem
solved.
And
Dwight Stifler's like, whoa, did you take a shower? And he's like, no, man. Why don't you rub it off me and then taste it and, like, smell it for a while? That's, like, how much respect I have for my own girlfriend. And then he's like, cool, man. Sex spray.
Well, the fact that the dude walks back into the party without having cleaned himself up.
Right?
What a fucking
batch of honor.
Asshole.
Dude, I'm pledging Beta House when I go to college.
But that's not unlike the scene where they each have to kill a keg of beer and then end up vomiting all over each other.
That's part of the challenge. Right?
Yes, it's part of the Olympiad.
The Olympiad,
which
is lorded over by...
You find out that Jim's dad rushed Beta House or was like
what
one of the
was
founders.
In Beta House and was in the last time this Olympiad happened.
The rules
I've
say,
said it a few times, but they literally say like Dwight Stifler is like, oh, here he is, Levinstein, he's our consigliere, and like he's like literally planning things with the guys. Like
they're in jail at some point in one of these movies.
He's like
and he arrives
the house lawyer.
Yeah.
He arrives to bail him out. And then they're like, well, you got to help us with the Olympiad. And then Eugene Levy's like in like Caesar outfits, like overseeing this entire like third act.
Well, no, they
movie.
Even said they were like, it's written in the rule book that the last person to compete like has to judge if it's ever brought back. Like,
yeah, because they wouldn't be a biased judge at all. Like,
they had no, or just moderate. They had no choice, but he had to be involved.
The best scene in this was the deer hunter scene.
Yeah.
Well, right, because what are the challenges they have to do? It's they have to, there's some kind of like greased, there's a pig that's greased
there's
up.
Pig, so you gotta catch a pig. And his like hillbilly roommate who's always fucking his girlfriend in the same room is like, oh, I grew up on a farm. I got the pig.
What were the other challenges?
There was the dark beer. Mall.
They did like this American Gladiators
style. It was like Dave Mall showed up. Like,
who is the franchise's first black character.
Yes. And they had a sound alike of like the Phantom Menace score. Like Duel of the Fates sound alike temp music thrown in for... Dave Maul, the expert lightsaber battler.
There was a weird obstacle course where you had to run it with someone hanging from your shoulders.
It was kind of like, for anybody that watches pro wrestling, it's kind of like the Tombstone Piledriver. You have to hold someone like that and run around.
And then the geeks got like a female.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, no, I quite understand, you know. But the geeks got like a female bodybuilder to be cheat in that race or something. It was fucking stupid.
And then the penultimate challenge, or I think it was actually right before all the keg drinking, was the best one. Like you were saying, Sean, the deer hunter one.
Yeah, the two heads of the frats got together, and they were dressed like deer hunters.
Yeah, it was like bandanas tied around their head.
It was Russian roulette.
Asian people in hats, like gambling bets. Money and stuff.
Really pretty funny.
Classic.
But they had guns instead of bullets. They had they were full of
it's like
horse
old
aged horse semen.
Cartridges. Yeah. Horse semen.
It was pretty fucking.
And then
really
they would
have
to put it in their mouths, like not to their temple. They would have to put the gun in their mouths and would shoot a load of horse semen in their mouths.
Click.
Yep. So that scene went on for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Perfect. It could have gone longer.
And Dwight Sif was like,
"That should have been the whole
cartridges.
Movie."
The guy's like, "Put two cartridges in," and they're spinning.
So ultimately, ends
shoot.
Up going off in the nerd's guy's mouth. But that wasn't the climax. That was just one of the many challenges. No. And then. The last one was the strip off, right? Which kind of goes back to your premature ejaculation running theme.
It was like first guy to come loses. And then all it was people like grind, like strippers come and grind on them.
Yeah.
But there were so many people watching it. Like all these people were like, oh, dude, there's like two guys that are getting grinded on. Whoever comes first loses. Let's go.
You mean to tell me that you wouldn't go running?
I totally would.
We gotta check this out.
But it'd be so weird. I don't know if I'd be cheering. But I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Our heroes, the betas, win this challenge because the guy in the geek house has a fetish for sheep.
Which we find out because there's like a Deep Throat-esque intel
from the dwarf guy.
From the guys from the Little People House who come in and they're like, I know we were rivals before, but like the nerds got us kicked out. Like they're trying to kick you guys out. The main nerd guy was the first regular-sized person to rush
our frat.
The Little People frat.
And they had a thing where you had to fuck a sheep. But most people didn't do it.
Either didn't do it
or faked it that they did.
But he actually fucked the sheep.
Because you had to give them like a condom full of your own semen as proof or some shit like
but
that.
But he actually went through with it and did the sheep. So then they have one of their strippers come out dressed as a sheep going,
It's the fat guy's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hillbilly guy.
Hillbilly.
I need to include that it was the
everyone listening is like, who was it? Who was it?
Which
and then
stripper
we proceed
was
it?
It wasn't
see
a hot stripper.
She just goes, man, like grinds
and
him. He's like, oh, God.
He has a sheep fetish. And that's.
And also, he's a guy in an American Pie movie. He can't possibly hold it in.
Yeah, it's like even if the sexiest girl on planet Earth came and gave me a lap dance, like not jizzing in my pants, like it's fucking stupid. Like what?
I don't know. They
For
got
some
Vegas.
Reason.
They got the one from the yeah. best one from Vegas.
Oh
they
yeah,
say, so.
sure. That's
yeah.
Ooh. And it what?
Thus,
that was how it ended, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Well, we didn't talk about the other beta house guy who is. Once he has one drink,
oh, fuck
he
that
blacks
guy.
Out.
That was so stupid. Like
it was really stupid.
He was supposed to be so cool because he blacked out and drank a lot and stuff. And
well, he was like really talented. That was a sad thing. There's a part where he's like playing piano. He's like very smart
know,
and talented.
I know.
And then he didn't want to drink, but then they make him drink, and then it's like shit goes crazy.
But he literally gives a look to the camera like, oh, I had a beer. Yeah. And yeah, you can see his life being ruined. As he's he would be a nice
anyway,
piano player.
The tag is that he wakes up with the... bodybuilder
right
from
woo-hoo
the
so I fully believe Beta House is the worst one. I did. I
that was the darkest period in the whole marathon.
Overall, it's a terrible movie. But Bandcamp is just there's nothing redeemable about Bandcamp.
Agreed. I don't know, man. Beta House sucks. Well, here's the thing.
Beta House is the worst movie, but like it has things that you're like can laugh about later. Yeah. Whereas like Bandcamp was just kind of boring.
Yeah. Right.
I mean the Deer Hunter scene alone.
Yeah. Deer Hunter scene, it was more like entertaining, but
I don't know.
It was
when
definitely
he,
a worse
when he
movie.
Put pepper spray on the trombones, man.
It also had like way less to do with American Pie than it kind of got. Series got like co-opted.
I think that's why I dislike it. Like even the like I will say that
the integrity of the American Pie movies was compromised.
Yeah. Right. But Bandcamp is like definitely not as funny, I guess. But it's more in the spirit of American Pie. And frankly, I find it more funny how not good it is. Like, that movie's so bad that I think it's, like, kind of funny. Whereas, like, Beta House is just, like, the world's worst, like, frat girls gone wild shit show. And it just, ugh.
Well, Beta House is, that's the closest it was to, like, okay, this is softcore pornography. This is just a porn.
Definitely.
We're watching.
Though he did jizz on that teddy bear. That was kind of funny.
The slow motion jizz.
Oh,
the
Matrix jizz.
Digital jizz.
Digital. Because it's the same character who came on his grandma and killed her.
Yeah.
So he's, finally jerking off? Oh, because they're like, he's like, I don't jerk off.
Oh, yeah,
my grandma.
He gets, someone spills soup on him, and the girl that he's dating takes him home and, like, is trying to make him better. And by doing that, she has to, like, touch his thigh. And in the grand tradition of American Pie, guys, he just fucking blows his load all over her wall, all over her pictures.
But you see it fly. You see it in the midair in slow motion.
He tries to catch it, and it, like, goes through his fingers as he's,
some VFX artist had to, like, work on the digital jizz.
And it hits her, like, favorite teddy bear. Yeah. And she's like, oh, Mr. Bubbles.
And she's fine with it.
Yeah.
She's fine the entire time.
As all women are, apparently.
There's even a scene where it's like they're finally supposed to have this date that like everybody's been getting in the way, and then they're about to have the date, and then they're like, no, wait, this is our only opportunity to do this, one of these pledge things that we have to do. And he's like, can I go do this? And you're thinking like, oh, some plot where she's like, actually, we were supposed to do something.
Right,
she's
it's
like,
me or the
she's
frat.
Like, no, it's cool.
And then she actually joins them.
And she's like, no, I'll just come
stuff.
With you guys. It sounds awesome. Like, I'm in for this frat pledge. Like, what?
That's
yeah, I got pissed off, but then I was going to be pissed off either way because it's like such a traveled road. Like, ugh, this plot again. And then they don't do that, and I'm still pissed off.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like, it was such a cliche that you're sick of that.
Right.
Then you're like, hey, wait a minute. She would be mad. Like, this is not okay.
Fuck this movie.
Because
you know what?
Being dicks.
Fuck Beta House.
Yes, I agree.
To the next step.
To the next step, indeed. So, the final of the direct-to-video American Pie Presents series that we watched was The Book of Love.
Wonder who wrote the book of love?
Which, you know, I don't know if it's because we just went through the fucking torture of like three of these, but like it's not good, but it got some like laughs out of me. It has some dumb moments. Like,
it's got pretty good production value. It looked like a theatrical release.
Yeah. I mean, kind of. Like, not the CG, you know?
Well, it was like the whole Beta. You're probably just loving it because all the Beta House stuff just got swept to the side.
It's totally back to basics, back to East Great Falls or whatever.
We're
the fuck
back, baby.
Well, I'm sure it's one of those things where if it's just one day and I throw that movie in and I watch it, I'd be like, this is horseshit.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was like I had been tortured by these frat guys for like hours and hours, it was just like welcoming anything that wasn't
that. So the first scene was him just taking a peanut butter jelly sandwich or just a peanut butter sandwich and just fucking it. So
this is the one that had the Ferris Bueller song. Like he looked at his PB sandwich.
And then
the soundtrack for this one is incredible. They've got Badly Drawn Boy, and then at the end. We've got
Elliot Smith. We got the old.
Right.
It had Good Charlotte. It went from Good Charlotte to Elliot Smith in the stretch of one film.
All the good music.
But Dan, you know the actual reason I really like this movie.
Artie and WG or whatever his name is.
I was like floored when in the first few minutes, one of the nerdy guys in the movie is this guy that we know from these like internet YouTube videos. His name's Brandon Hardesty.
Well, he would do these YouTube reenactments of like characters in movies that I don't can't remember if it was you or me that found it, but you found it.
Well, so Dan had emailed to me, the one that we first saw was he did this like reenactment of a scene from First Contact, and he's doing like Patrick Stewart.
I don't know if that was the first one though, but that one was really
was the best one.
I think the first one that we found was him doing the Angels with Filthy Souls from Home Alone.
Right, from Home Alone.
So he was doing the gangster movie within Home Alone.
Right. But this guy was just some...
You know what I mean? It's like he shoots him and all that stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about,
yes. This guy was just some kid who was posting on YouTube videos of him reenacting scenes from movies, but he would like hold the camera himself and then be everyone in the scene.
And he was a really good
impression. So he would cut it. Yeah, and he actually
was pretty good. But the Star Trek one, you're right, is the funniest because it's like him doing Patrick Stewart doing this monologue about like the Borg.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because you can tell like the guy is such a Trekkie and he like cares a lot about it. And he's just like, the Borg. Well, I can't remember what it is, but he's just so like focused. The scene is like... Patrick Stewart like looking off into space like out of you know the window on the Enterprise, you know, kind of just imagining when he was in the Borg and how like it never quite leaves you, and he's arguing
with the other person in that scene about like whether or not the Borg should be exterminated or something.
He's arguing that they should be, it's this impassioned speech.
But so anyway. How are we talking about?
Well, this was like six years ago.
So long ago. But we would watch these videos and just laugh. And I took a weird shine to this guy because the videos were so
dumb. Yeah, I remember. You watched them.
But I was like really into it. And he like kind of looked like me and he had an attitude that sort of reminded me of me, like real corny.
He lived
and
very
like,
vicariously through the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he was actually in the American Pie movie.
Yeah, it just cut to him on
Didn't he do one that was American Pie?
Yeah, when we YouTubed during the marathon, one for the original American Pie came up. So he actually did a scene reenactment of American Pie.
Yeah.
So it's funny that he was just in
It's weird. It's not like this guy's been cast in a lot of... it's not like this guy had been cast in a lot of movies. Like, this was just like kind of the one movie he was ever in. So anyway, but
he's good at it. He's not bad.
I mean, he's really good at doing like big goofy faces. His sort of thing in this movie is like he's fantasizing about women that he sees.
He's also really likable and like in the heartfelt moments where he was just trying to like connecting with other characters.
Yeah, he was definitely
really
the best one of the three guys.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought the main guy was good too. Alfalfa from The Little Rascals.
Right. He also looked kind of old for like high school. Yeah. Like,
he has like an old-timey gangster
and
face.
And these characters had, as far as I could tell, nothing to do with any characters.
Well, there is
before.
Is a Stifler, that, as
yes,
we said.
Aside from fucking 40-year-old Stifler.
Yeah, we don't know what his
just
connection is tenuous.
Had no emotion whatsoever. Would just be like, hey, I'm Stifler. How's it going? You look hot. Like, that was it. Like,
yeah, you look hot. Wanna fuck? And then the girl would be like, yeah. And it was just so
in your
gross.
Dreams. Ha, ha, ha. Like, walk
Didn't
away.
You say it was like Johnny Cab?
Yeah. He sounded like the Total Recall Johnny Cab. Like, hey, welcome to Johnny Cab. Like, it's just so dumb. Like, but so this movie, the main plot was that you're back to virgins in high school, which I sort of liked. Like, we're like, oh, we're back to the basics, in quotes, I guess. And the whole idea is they've heard about and find the Book of Love, the same one from the first movie, but they like spill water on it
He set fire to the library. Yes.
Right.
That's right, because he was with the girl from Two Broke Girls or whatever.
By the way, I don't know why the fuck he needs this book when his like best friend that's a girl literally turns to him in the library and is like, you know what? I'm sick of being a virgin and I kind of want to have sex before the year's out. I think it's time. And then he's like, yeah, you know, you probably should have sex, walks away. And he's like, I don't know how I'm going to get late. Like, it's just.
Yeah. I think like, he wanted to be good at it also.
Fucking guess. I don't know.
For some reason, they find the Book of Love and it's water damaged. So they have to.
They try to use it even though it's damaged.
Right.
It kind of leads them on some calamitous
adventures. Well, it leads them on probably one of the best parts of the movie, which is they go on a trip to Canada. Dan, you joke it looked like One-Eyed Jax from Twin Peaks.
It was One-Eyed Jax. Yeah. I think because they go to Canada.
They go to this like brothel.
Yeah, it's like a prostitute den. It's total. They were like the Bookhouse Boys.
Yes. And then we all just went, oh, God. Because what happens is that they're looking up it's like a Monique is written in the book. All it says is Monique and it's like starred
and the
with
date
happy
is
faces
unclear.
And stuff. Yeah. So they go to this and they're like, is Monique here? And then out comes from the back this like prostitute that's like 70 years old and has these gigantic fake breasts that you can see. And
you
it's
can
just,
hear her bones moving.
Yeah, she's literally like hobbling out.
But she's supposed
like,
to be the best.
Right.
She's
oh.
Like the best.
And they walk past like
just
every
like
a, other
she's the American
prostitute.
Pie 2 of this brothel. The best.
Exactly. And so then they, our hero goes to do this. And then there's this other weird scene where the internet YouTube guy is sitting there and he fantasizes about all these women. And then he like looks up and there's a moose on the wall and it literally looks at him like, and is like, looks like you have a real active imagination. Like CG
it's a digital
moose.
Moose
head.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of weird.
Looks great.
And then immediately terrible. Right after you cut back into the 70-year-old lady or 80-year-old lady
who's like blowing
the guy.
The
guy, but she's like the best ever. He's yeah. like, he's oh like, my God.
Love it.
He loves
like he's
it.
Grossed out, but he's loving it.
Yeah. It's the main guy. And then she takes her dentures out and uses the dentures to like bite his nipples. Yeah. Solid American Pie
yes.
set piece.
Then it takes a dark turn.
Yeah. Because she literally just dies giving him a blowjob. Like, it, dick
and
in
then,
her mouth dies.
And then her rigor mortis sets
in
very quickly.
Yeah.
And then now the, he's
he can't get out.
And then there's a whole
escapade. Like,
so he's like yelling for help.
And then the two friends bust in, and then they're trying everything
they're trying
they can to get
pulling her
dead
legs.
Body off his.
They're grabbing, like.
They grab a telephone and hit her in the head with a telephone.
Like, pulling this dead body, trying to get it off her his dick.
It was
they went pretty far.
It was pretty great.
It's good, you know. When you can still shock us after all these movies, I guess, you know, there's something to be said for that.
So that was a pretty insane scene.
Oh, and then they take off and the other people are shooting at them. So they're basically like felons.
Yeah.
They should be and they're
oh, and the
international.
The woman's son walks in and he's like a French Canadian guy with his big eye. He just keeps going, "Mama, mama."
It's a lot like when the Rancor is slain.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And the guy's like, "Oh." Crying that it's like you've killed her. It's kind of the same thing.
So they realize that, you know, this book is probably not going to help them too much unless they reconstruct it. And they go to the original author, they look at the record of who's checked it out at the library, which I don't know why there is, because it's hidden
under
a bookshelf.
Yeah.
Like, I doubt it's in their library system, but there's some reason there's still cards.
Well, there was a card, and I guess the people just filled it out,
just
even though they didn't have
sure.
it.
Alexei pointed out that in the first movie, they find the Book of Love under the section Fluid Dynamics.
Yes.
Which was pretty clever.
That's
for American Pie. But there is no such connection.
No,
here
not at all.
In this movie.
And so the original guy that checked this book out and the creator of the Book of Love was Mr. Levinstein.
Jim's dad.
Who they look up at he owns a carpet plant or he's like a carpet salesman.
Yeah.
And they.
That's probably for the puns because they have a bunch of puns.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Explain this one, Dan.
What about it?
The carpet business.
Well, that's his job. I mean, we never knew what his job was, but he obviously had to have a job, as you pointed out. The you know all the exterior shots are nice upper middle class homes, including Jim's house,
I thought he was a lawyer
in an expensive wedding.
I'm sorry, what? When he was,
he's
I mean,
a lawyer in the previous.
Well,
movie.
I mean, the only thing you can act as a lawyer without having to be your profession.
Well,
you
he
just
also
have to
had
pass
the time
bar, so.
To work at a summer camp and maintain his job. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What?
Hold on. Wait, I'm getting a call. Hey, man, you need to know how to explain Jim's dad and all the movies? Okay, here's what you do. Here's what happens.
So him and the boys decide, even though the book's damaged, they have the record of who all checked it out. And he explains that when he was young, he started this book to give advice to other people who are virgins and want to get laid or something. And then there's this crazy like cameo montage of them calling all these people and getting
who contributed
the book.
To the book.
And there's tons of people. It's like
they're
Tim Matheson
TV,
and
like Brett Michaels.
Yeah,
Brett Michaels.
C. Thomas Howell.
Just there. All these random
Dustin Diamond.
People.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Dustin Diamond. Can't remember who else.
A bunch of other just kind of random people. But and they're like C grade like cameos. It's not like something.
We were holding out hope for Casey Affleck, but
yeah, nah,
no,
wasn't in there.
No, right?
No. He was probably he was too busy doing that Joaquin Phoenix documentary at that point.
Yeah,
right,
most likely. And they like rebuild the book, and it doesn't, from my memory, it doesn't really help him that much. They just say, like, oh, it says we need to be nice and give, you know, tornado tongue, like, oral sex tips. So
which
know,
is
like,
a callback to the first movie.
Yes. It's
what Henry Rowan Gardner uses on Tara Reid.
Sean, wasn't it you that said that they should do a whole other movie where, or one element to making the movie is, like, he breaks his dick? Or did you say that?
No, that was me. I said that the Rookie of the Year guy should fall, snap his dick, and it heals in a way that makes him like a sexual dynamo.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Because the plot of Rookie of the Year is ridiculous.
Here's the thing about Book of Love. Huge comeback from the soundtrack tip. We're away from all those like cover versions. So you get the real songs. Opening credits. Nickelback, Something in Your Mouth.
Great.
The Nickelback song about blowjobs. Yeah. It's called Something in Your Mouth.
Definitely. Take 5 minutes to listen to that and then come
the
back.
The chorus is, you look so much better with something in your mouth.
No. I remember Katy Perry.
Katy Perry,
Hot and
Fallout Boy.
There, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I pulled up the Cobra Starship.
Ooh.
And of course,
it's kind of like back to basics. Elliot Smith,
Elliot
obviously.
Smith.
Is
yeah, back to basics. Elliot Smith.
All Time Low.
Oh,
and then Sherman Helmsley's in this movie.
That's right.
As a pre, as like the priest.
Yeah,
remember, there's a really religious girl, and then Sherman Helmsley in his last role of all time before he died.
Oh God, yeah.
Is like a preacher at the church or something. That's like the worst storyline. It's the guy who has the religious girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to.
Well, her story is like she had a bunch of sex, but now has like devoted herself back to her religion, and he's trying to have sex with her. And then they have this long scene where they go into another room in the church and hit the pew button and whoops, the entire church can hear them talking about all the guys she had sex with.
And they keep hitting the same beat over and over again, which is he says, okay, yeah, I want you, like I'm in love with you, and that's why I want to have sex with you. And it seems like they have that scene like five times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and then the whole thing is finally resolved when she's like, you know what? I'm kind of over it and I want to have sex.
Yeah,
and he's like, all right, and that's that.
Great.
Yeah. Great.
So Alfalfa and Two Broke Girls decide, they finally like...
You're calling her Two Broke Girls.
They finally...
Call her One Broke Girl.
One
Broke.
They finally
Which one?
Get together and they're like, yeah, we're going to do it tonight at Stifler's house. And then at Stifler's party, they hit that classic American Pie beat of him bragging to his friends about he's going to get laid. She overhears it. She goes and has sex with Stifler.
Or
she starts to,
he walks in and finds it.
Yeah. And then so he goes to have
Stifler
sex with this other girl, and it's like really raunchy. She's like, she like gets on all fours, and he's like, yeah. And he looks down at her back, and he sees the ghost of One Broke Girl saying, how could you do this?
The tramp stamp on her back actually, like, as a visual effect,
around.
Turns into text.
It says, like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? And then her face, One Broke Girl's face, appears on her lower back talking to him.
And then he immediately pukes on her,
which
maybe was my favorite part.
Oh, I know my favorite part, hands down.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, which is later.
So Stifler's at a poker game. You got to explain it from the beginning.
Well, sure. No, I know. So the whole class.
I like that I know you.
The whole class goes on a skiing trip, and this is sort of where they get their second chance to make everything right with everybody. But before that, they're at this Stifler's, the bad Stifler's,
the worst Stifler,
like cabin where he's throwing a
Should
party.
Should we rank the Stiflers right now?
Or? Sure. Well, this guy Lois.
Well, let's talk about this.
Okay.
This beat first, and then.
So he's at this poker table with this girl that he's wronged, and she makes a bet that's like, if I win this hand, you have to go outside naked. And then if he wins the hand, she's got to blow everybody or something. I don't remember. Like,
no,
she has
no.
To
if she wins,
he's got to apologize.
No, that's what I said. He's got to apologize and get kicked outside.
Oh,
and then if he wins something, I don't know. She has to take her clothes. Oh, she says, I'll take all my clothes off if I lose. So he takes his bet. She wins with this unlucky, like, gut shot straight draw at the end that, of course, happens in every movie ever made. And he goes, oh, no. And then he gets kicked outside. He's running around trying to get back in the house. And lo and behold,
naked.
And the same like animated moose that was in One Eye Jack's, like on the wall, walks full bodied, walks up and just.
So the whole chase, there's a whole digital chase of him running away from his CG.
They animated the moose already.
Yeah.
So like, why not bring it back?
We cannot describe how shitty this thing looked. Like, it's in no way realistic.
It's not even. No.
It's like really bad. And then.
It's pretty photo real. I don't know.
So Stifler runs with his ass in the air and then falls on the ground, and this moose runs up and like mounts him, and the entire class just watches this Stifler guy get raped by a digital moose. As it's like, and he's like, no.
He's also the worst character of the day. There wasn't anyone I was happy to see raped by a moose.
Yeah. Do you think the cops came and like killed that moose? Like, they like had to hunt it down.
I think it just evaporated.
Like, it has taste for human now. We got to keep it
for
it.
Well, I like that you pointed out that Stifler actually went on the ski trip, even though he had been the night before. Like, he didn't leave. Like, he was still there.
He was in the hospital.
Yeah. All he had to do was sit on like a rubber
with like a hemorrhoid donut. Yeah. That he's like sitting on.
He somehow gets, he's devoid of any charm, any charisma. He's just a huge dick. He gets raped by a moose. Still gets the girl.
The next morning, he's like,
there's this British girl that was literally doing nothing in the movie, but going, hello, I'm British. How's it going? And then in the end, she's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And they hug each other.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then our hero, you know, finally, the like gondolas stop and everyone gets down in the gondola. And then that's when the Elliot Smith like montage starts of everyone all happy together. It was, I don't know why I said earlier that it was like a great movie or in any way good. It's like
in the context,
terrible.
It was a life preserver.
The reenactor guy has been pining for this one girl for some reason, but he is in love with her and they end up in a gondola and they get together.
Yes. Well, he finally, the sweet sensitive side comes out and she's just so flattered, and she has some throwaway line like, oh, you're just in love with me because you want to use me like all the men for my status or something. And he's like, no, I just like
which
you.
Which she lets everyone else do the entire movie.
Yeah, no problem.
But,
she
goes, but then his big line is like, well, I remember in sixth grade when you sang Hey Ya.
Oh, yeah.
And then the entire room just
talented. Like, oh. Sixth grade? Yeah. And not, especially coming from a character that the whole movie you've like seen her tits out and she's been this sexual icon. And then it's like, yeah, when I was in sixth grade during Hey Ya, you're like, oh, God.
The next step.
Next step, guys.
Indeed. Did you guys have anything else about Book of Love before we move on?
Do you want to rank the Stiflers? Let's do it.
Sure. So,
Sean Williams.
We should get some music for this.
Here you go.
Okay,
so,
good. Right.
Yeah, so
do we include Stifler's mom as a Stifler?
Whole Stifler family.
Every Stifler, yeah. Stifler. So number one,
Sean Williams
is Stiff. Sean
original.
Williams.
Is it?
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
He's the best. So after that,
I would say number two is the Jim Stifler from Naked Mile.
Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom. Oh,
I would give it to Young's like seventh grade Stifler.
Yeah, the younger brother. Two. I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with. He's funny.
He's way funnier than any of the.
And then third is Stifler's mom.
Fourth, Jim Stifler.
Jim Stifler is definitely number four.
Which one is that?
That's the main character.
I think it's Eric Stifler.
Yeah, the guy who comes out as grandma.
Grandma.
He should be above Jennifer Coolidge.
Okay.
For coming on as grandma.
Okay. Sure.
Because that gets old. Her act gets old.
And then I think the after grandma, him, Grandma Stifler, who died. She's probably
number one.
And then Shooter McGavin.
Chris McDonald. Yep.
And then now we start scraping.
I guess it's Dwight Stifler.
Dwight Stifler.
Over Bandcamp?
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
That's tough.
No, are you kidding me?
No.
Dwight
Fuck.
Is so much
no,
better.
He's
Fuck way better.
Dwight Stifler. He's
Bandcamp
a piece of
Bandcamp Stifler
shit.
Is fucking evil and just a terrible performance. Just awful.
But he at least sees the error of his ways. Where like fucking Dwight is a...
Now here's the thing.
Man, what do you do? How do you defend? That guy sucked so hard.
Team
like,
Dwight.
He was so
he's the
bad.
American Pie 2 of Stiflers.
God.
Now here's my question. Here's what I'm gonna say.
Doesn't make any sense.
My answer is the Bandcamp Stifler is trying to do like a Ray Charles-esque like Jamie Foxx.
What?
he's trying to recreate
impression.
Sean William
sure.
Scott, the kid from Bandcamp. He's yes. trying.
That's
to
definitely
do that.
True.
Doug Stifler or Dwight Stifler,
Dwight Stifler
or whatever
is his own thing. Right?
He's doing his own
like
take
Jack
on
Stifler.
It. So I'm gonna give it the nod to him. Okay. Three votes to one. All right. Dwight Stifler.
All right.
to the next step.
Which then makes the band camp Stifler the next.
Yes. And then the worst
absolute
one is Book of Love,
the barrel.
Raped by Moolah.
Let's leave some empty slots.
Some other Stifler.
And then Book of Love Stifler.
Hands down, Book of Love Stifler. Worst Stifler.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
I don't know. He literally looks 40. Like, I know I joke that the other people, like, look old. He looks old.
He looks and acts 40.
The fact that he's, like, in high school is retarded. Like, it's just literally, hey, guys, want to come to my party? Like, no. Okay. That brings us, at long last, to the final film of the marathon, to the next step. We visit American Reunion.
Last night, can't remember.
Which, you know, I have to say, not a good movie, but after four direct-to-videos, it was kind of a welcome sight to see some of those old characters. Yeah. Like,
especially Chris Klein, who has been MIA since American Pie 2.
And they did so much with him.
Make a point to address it. Like, because in this, it's the 13th reunion. Yeah. Some of they missed the 10th. And he literally walks up and sees the guys. And he's like, yo, I know I missed your wedding, but I wouldn't miss this.
Right.
Like, the 13th reunion. Like,
this
what?
Movie was shockingly boring. And then it picked up towards the end. There were some genuine laughs.
Well, it starts with, music-wise, you got R. Kelly, Bump and Grind. Oh, opens us up.
Yeah.
As Jim masturbates in front of his child.
Yeah, that was just kind of like, oh, man.
That was just depressing. Like, he's his wife's, like, using the shower ahead in, on herself in the shower while he's in the bedroom watching internet porn. And then his kid walks in.
Given that their first child was stillborn, that creates a lot of tension in relationships. I can understand that.
That's probably why their sex life is hurting.
Yeah,
it's just the whole plot line.
Makes sense. But, you know... Like, there was something sort of, not lovable, but interesting about Jason Biggs as, like, a young teenager in those kind of situations. But him as, like, a grown-ass man
it's
in this
depressing.
Shit.
It's depressing.
It's so sad. Like, the whole movie, I just kept being like, these guys are all fucking grown-ass old guys. Like, what?
Now, you think that they will ever do... Jim's kid as teenager American Pie movie?
I could see that. Like he's the dad.
Grandpa as Eugene Levy?
Yeah, bring it back. Why not? Yes.
Also, there's the whole B story in this movie of Eugene Levy, like because the wife, I guess, Jim's mom has died. They reveal that info.
A lot of the series got darker and darker. A lot of death. A lot of hookers dying while giving blowjobs.
There's a lot of weird scenes with Jim and him being like, yeah, when your mom was here, you know, and it's, oh, Dad, it's been 3 years. And you're like, what? Like, I tuned in for, like, some dumb fun.
I think it was just sort of the neck-breaking for us because we just kept seeing Jim's dad appear.
Right.
Like, as this goofy guy, like, oh, well, I went to bed house. Like, oh, I wrote the Book of Love.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm helping you guys. And then the next time you see him, it's like he's literally, like, tearing up over, like, thinking about his dead wife and, like, how difficult it's been.
Because quite clearly, this movie was written with in no way keeping continuity with the, like, direct-to-video.
Yeah, he's not good
like,
with women.
This is
the thing,
guy.
His name, that character wasn't named until Naked Mile. So they did keep that continuity.
Well, sure.
Levinstein. He was always just Jim's dad.
Right.
But then they were referring to Jim as Jim Levinstein, all this stuff. Name didn't come in.
Sure. I'm not claiming that it absolutely negates those. I'm just saying, clearly, as a viewer, they're expecting, like, the last movie you've seen is maybe The Wedding. And the whole thing of the whole movie is like, wow, we haven't seen these guys in a really long time, including Eugene Levy, even though he's just, like, been derping around for all his bad movies.
But the whole plot is like, we got to get him back on the dating scene.
Yeah.
Which is like, we just kept laughing because you were like, didn't this man write the Book of Love? Like, why does he like need the tips?
Yeah, his story arc, in no way matched the consigliere beta house sex romp master of
he
the Naked Mile.
In the sex games and lorded over the Naked
he's
Mile.
He's overseeing a striptease where people are coming and stuff, but like, he just does not have the moves
to turn band camp into a fucking depraved art
He turned it.
But that's such a silly thing to do for him in those directed videos, because the whole point of him and Jim's character is like they're totally not too sexual. Like
yeah,
they're supposed
to be
oddballs.
Supposed
to be
really awkward.
I don't know when he became this like stud master of the frat. Like it's
it was in Beta House. Because Beta House really opened the door, and then with Book of Love, it's like, well, Jim Stack could have wrote it because, you know, I mean, he was the consigliatory in Beta House.
Yeah.
So that's not much of a stretch.
Sure, sure. Yeah, but so as you mentioned, Chris Klein back in action,
back with a vengeance.
Fucking thank
well,
God.
Well, because he's like a Sports Center anchor.
Yeah,
and then was on View. Like Dancing with the Stars or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. And I was really glad to have him back in all his shitting acting glory, because that's always just fun watching. So his plot is he's dating this sort of younger woman who's just like a sex starved E addict, like.
Yeah, she's a hanger-on.
She's a model, apparently.
Trophy wife.
Guess, like, yeah, trophy girlfriend or something.
Yeah. And you learn that him and Mina Suvari broke up over, like, distance. Like, he wanted to go to L.A. and pursue a career, you know, as an anchor, I guess, sports anchor.
Yeah.
And she's, like, a doctor or something.
Staying in Michigan doing whatever.
Yeah. And so she's dating, like, this other doctor who's, like, kind of a douche, but, like, thinks he's way cooler than Oz.
Right. And he's suggesting they, like, girlfriend swap and stuff. Like a total asshole. And, you know, obviously Jim and Allison Hannigan are having sort of sexual problems in their relationship.
And then Jim runs into this 18-year-old who he used to babysit.
Right. Who's this, like hottie next door.
Who really wants to lose her virginity to him. Yeah. So it's all him trying to, like, you know, I've got this, like, naked, drunk 18-year-old man. Like, how do I dump
it's
the body?
It's really hard to laugh. It's really hard to laugh at that shit.
Because he has a kid.
He's like, a kid. And
he's this man's a father.
At one point, the kid sees him holding this naked, drunk 18-year-old girl in the yard.
But he never
I guess it's like Stifler's like pressuring him into trying to do that.
I mean, I never got the sense that he was going to do anything, but his actions were still pretty dumb.
Yeah, sure.
There are just more ways to avoid those situations. You don't, like he's kind of putting himself into that.
Right.
Yeah. And then Stifler is back. He's kind of stayed in town and is a temp at a like financial firm.
Yeah.
And he's literally like his first scene, he walks over and like smacks a girl in the ass and is like, "Sup, guys?" And all I just kept thinking was like, well, now you're fired. Like what universe did you still have this job? Like what?
And he's a temp, like, especially
a temp with his own office. Yeah. Like,
because at first the movie makes you think that he might be like the CEO,
he's like
the and
you're like,
oh, okay,
that's
how he's getting away with it. But no, he's a temp. Like,
They also keep Tara Reid is back, and her storyline with Henry Rowan Gartner is just as uninteresting as it ever was.
Just as meaningless as it ever
he's
was.
He's an architect, maybe? We don't really know.
Well, his wife is at home, and he's just here for the reunion.
Yeah, he's got a beard.
He's
that's
flirting
something.
With her.
Yeah.
Right, and his whole storyline is just about how, like, his marriage is like he just watched The Bachelor all day, right?
Right. Like, or she's making him watch like Gossip Girl and all these shitty shows, and he just can't wait to get away.
Yeah, I guess. And he thinks he slept with Terry because he wakes up next to her, but they actually didn't have sex or something.
Well, she's like, "Oh, I took care of you. You were so drunk, and you didn't remember."
Well, he finally asks her what happened, and he's like, "Oh, we didn't have sex, thank God." And she gets all offended. But he's
how would you
married.
Think I would do that to you when you wake up half naked next to me in bed? Like, what do you expect?
And then we got Finch, who is apparently a man of the world, getting tattoos from tribes and
he
Africa.
Shows up in a motorcycle and is just as badass. Yeah. And then they have this plot of Allison Hannigan has a friend who was in band with her that they don't remember. Like now she's super hot.
They remember her.
When they first see her, they don't recognize her. And she's like this super hot chick, and they're like, "I don't remember her from high school." And then they whip out this high school photo, and she just looks like a troll.
It was a pretty insane photo.
Like this brace-filled, like hunchback.
The grossest thing of the night.
And I don't know what the message is there. Like, if you turn hot, now everything's okay, I guess.
But she
kind of
becomes an item with Finch, but it's really just all this like kind of means to an end to have Finch be arrested for stealing this motorcycle, and then he's made up his whole story, which then, you know, harkens back to the first movie of like them spreading all these lies about him, you know, whatever. Like,
he just wanted to look cool.
He's generating this sort of false persona, but it's all just kind of a means to an end to have his mom bail him out of jail so that she's in the mix at the reunion, yes, so that Stifler can sleep with her.
Because she's played by Rebecca De Mornay,
yeah,
who's like an actress that was in some, you know, kind of sexual movies like in her youth, and I guess was like, you know, like a good cast for like, oh, that was kind of fun to see Stifler like get revenge, yeah, on, right, on
that was
Finch.
A pretty good
so job. He gets to sleep with Finch's mom,
yeah, which did lead to, honestly, I think one of the funniest jokes of the day, to be yeah, perfect, because oh, they bring back the MILF guy, like Sulu is back in, what's his real
John
name?
John Cho.
Yeah, John Cho's back. He's like mustachioed and planning the reunion.
And vaguely gay.
Sure, yeah, sure. And there's a scene where Jim asks him, like, oh, he literally says like, oh, where's the other MILF guy? And John Cho like gets looks serious off into the distance and gets sort of choked up and is like, it, you know, just...
He says friendship is a two-way street.
Yeah, yeah. And so they had some unspoken like falling out. Yeah. You don't know what's going on. And then like at the end of the movie, he's watching Stifler and Rebecca De Mornay like fuck in the middle of the bleachers. And then just like this like Dawson's Creek like acoustic guitar ballad starts, and then the other MILF guy like comes out from behind the bleachers like real somber, and they're just looking at each other like all choked up, and they like
and they
just
bond over the fact that there is a MILF in action.
Yeah,
so that kind of what brings
but
up
they all they say. They don't is say MILF anything, but like he walks up, and he's like MILF, and the yeah, guy's like MILF, yeah, and then they just start MILF.
Very
like
postmodern.
It was
self-reflective. Yeah. It's like, what?
Well, it's like the few moments where the movie's like really self-aware and how stupid that is, and it's yeah, making a joke.
There was another
itself
moment like that where two of Stifler throws a party, and instead of the old
oh,
school
yeah,
like
that
keg,
was funny too,
kegger, everyone's dressed up nicely, and he's like, "What the fuck is this?" And then two of his old lacrosse buddies come in, and he's like, "Yeah, yeah,"
and they're like miming, like jerking each other off.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
just,
and then,
like eating cum and stuff.
And then they say that they're engaged, and Stifler's like, "That's pretty gay." And it turns out that they are gay.
Yeah, they're like, "Yeah, we
they're
know." Like,
yeah, we
and,
are.
And then
are gay.
They're like, half
engaged
the lacrosse
to each other.
Half the lacrosse team was gay. You didn't know that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was
and then they're
funny,
like making out with each other yeah, at the end. And so, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you didn't know, like, half the team.
It, yeah. That was pretty good.
That's yeah, that's funny. But this movie rests most of its comedy on the antics of, like you mentioned, Jim and this next-door neighbor girl, and there's this whole extended, like, she gets in his car and takes her top off, and he's got to get her in the house, and his buddies are, like, covering for him. And we all just kept saying, like, just drop her on the ground and, like, go home
or, like,
to your wife.
Call your wife and just be like, this neighbor next door is going crazy. Like, loop
yeah, just,
her in. So
just
not,
be honest. There's nothing yeah, to be
why
ashamed
would you
of
risk taking her into her parents' house, like, holding her naked body? Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
I can understand, like, not wanting to get her in trouble or something, but, yeah, like...
Just but at some point, you know, you fuck her. You know,
yeah,
what do you care? You
you're a grown man with a,
you
with
a
child.
You have a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing?
It's silly.
Although the other funny joke that's kind of like that MILF thing and that lacrosse thing is when Shannon Elizabeth shows back up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
At the end.
Oh, well, we were counting down all of the people who needed to show up.
Yeah,
again.
We were like, Shermanator was there. And then when he had like a POV, like Terminator,
yeah,
like robot.
Yeah,
like
they actually showed
the
a first
Terminator
person.
Which is the first time they did that.
I know, yeah. Well, they'd always had the knockoff music and
right,
stuff, but we never got literally like
a POV
like Shermanator
robot.
Vision.
Like
the
he's
red
a robot.
Red. Yeah.
But no, when Shannon Elizabeth shows up, her like date to the reunion is like a doppelganger of Jason Bates. Like, he looks exactly like
yeah,
him.
And then he's walking away like, oh, that guy looked nothing like me.
I didn't like that line. I thought it was funny already. I
right,
thought you got
it
already.
Yeah.
I thought it was too like pointing it
that
out. It was a pile on.
That was an ADR. That was a studio.
It was a total pile on.
That's like
yeah,
the one
was,
in
yeah,
American Wedding where they're yeah, like, looks like it's going to be a dance off. Like,
really? I know, yeah. But that, yeah, I just thought it's like,
yeah,
obviously you could tell it
yeah,
looked like him. It was just too much of a pile on.
But yeah, that essentially, like, that was American Reunion. It, kind of like a lot of jokes at the expense of just remembering those characters and kind of plays on who they were, but not really bringing anything, like, new to the table.
I kind of wish, I was just, we were holding out hope that the cast,
yeah,
the Book of Love,
pass the
three
torch,
guys,
pass the torch,
three new guys that they would be.
There, I would have bet anything that they would not be in that movie, like. Come on.
Because here's why. Maybe
they would just like be established somehow as in the high school, like pass the torch, like be
yeah,
these
maybe
guys now.
Book of Love did well enough so they were like, well, we should do a real American Pie movie again, but also include that in guys, you know? Like,
what would have been your top way, Jorge, of including those new guys into the American Reunion?
Just have them hanging out at the same party or something.
We did talk about having they go to a high school party and having no, this was Book of Love. They're at a party. They're in high school, and we were talking about how, like, if you panned past them, you saw the original cast in American Pie 2 talking about are we creepy because we're at a high school party? And it's just like, it's just a circular plot.
So it's like, oh, this movie's actually happening at the same time.
Well, everyone wanted like some Final Destination-esque like super twist where they linked up like that.
I mean, but I just think working in those Book of Love kids would have it would have worked for the fans of Book of Love. Just a shout out to the little loyals who've been following the series all the way
for a whole day,
who finally caught on to the non-linear storytelling.
Yeah.
I mean, you see a movie Memento, it's kind of like Memento, where it's like Bandcamp comes after, but you see it first. I mean, come on, give us some fan service, because I was really excited when we got back to the like original. Oh, here they all come, and then once they came back and they were like old and stuff, I was like, I want to see more of those Book of Love kids. Bring them back.
Well, grown men don't really have the same effect as like high school kids.
They needed to, you know what they should have done is kind of like what, you know, like a pass the torch movie.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
Like this generations. Is the next movie.
Well, yeah. I think Jorge's right.
Book of Love kids.
I think Jorge's right in that could happen. Like if they, maybe in another 5-10 years, they'll be old enough to where they would
probably
have
not that cast.
Kids.
No, it'll be
but
some
not
new.
The, they'll
no,
have to no, start no, over. Yeah.
It'd be
new.
A whole new thing. Yeah, I think you're right. Like Jim as the dad.
Well, what I want to see is American Pie presents the Book of Love reunion. We should probably talk about the American Pie movies and what they say about
us as horrible human beings.
Well, what they say about the feminist movement in the country and how how soul deadening it is to I mean, we probably should. I'm not.
Oh,
saying
no, no,
we
no,
will,
no,
but
no. I agree. I actually,
feel like there's a lot to talk
the whole
about.
Time. A friend of ours, terrible. Rachel, sat through the entire thing, and I was frankly very proud of her because, if I were a woman, I don't think I could do it. Like, it's really offensive.
You get through one of these movies, and it's like, all right, that was a stupid sex comedy,
just
whatever.
Like 13 hours of it, like, wow.
It is unrelenting. Women are treated like garbage. They're treated like the stupidest. Just objects.
I know. And I'd be like somewhat forgiving if Allison Hannigan in her adult years had somehow found maturity or become like a real woman, but she's still like, I just want to fuck. And
even
I'm
the
horny,
women
and
characters, especially in the original cast that they sort of try to flesh out, are just, it ends up just falling flat on its face.
Yeah. I have to, that's a good point. Like, I think in my adult maturity, like, I remember a time where I found American Pie really funny and I was in high school and stuff, but it I think now would only serve as like nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like I have love for the movie in like my memories of it in that time. But if a new movie that was like a sex romp like that came out now, I don't think I'd even really like it.
Especially now we've seen them do these types of movies with strong female characters that
totally
are good. And it just sort of renders this kind of thing completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
Same time next year, guys.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much for joining me in this marathon. I really appreciate it. And I'm very glad you founders of Cinemarathon, I'm glad you could return for another podcast.
What are you doing next month?
Well, next month is going to be May, and we have already planned to do the Star Trek films.
Oh, cool. All good luck getting to the first one.
Oh, I know. You know, I've never seen it. But the new, Star Trek.
Sleepy.
Star Trek Into Darkness is coming out. So this is going to be like a crazy big marathon. But for listeners, marathon will be in May. But I imagine because that film releases so late in the month and because there's so many movies to watch and because we're going to have to record for a very long time talking about all those movies, I would not be surprised if that podcast ends up posting near the beginning of June. Like, I think it's highly unlikely that we're going to make like the end of May. So I would look for that coming up in June. And then after that, later in June, we have all of the Superman movies coming up because the Man of Steel is coming out. So that should be fun. So for the next couple of months, we're a little booked up. But if you have any ideas of future marathons coming up later this year, please send us an email to cinemarathon@gmail.com. And you can also just send us any questions or comments that you might have. And while we were watching this marathon, I live tweeted all of, like, while we were watching American Pie, And you can find that feed on both our Facebook page and on our Twitter account. On Twitter, we're at CineMarathonPod. That's CineMarathonPod. And on Facebook, we're facebook.com/CineMarathon. So be sure to go follow us or like us on those, because as I continue to update future marathons or anything that's going on, those will all go to those. And finally, all of this information can be found on our website, which is cinemarathonpodcast.com.
So,
thank you, gentlemen, for a lovely marathon. And
to the next step.
Have a good one. See you next time.